this is Roy Lilly. Well, I know I've written a lot recently about the NHSEI board. It's important. I wish I'd done it earlier, and with absolutely no apology, I'm returning to it today, and no, I won't stop. And here's why. Here are just five items taken from the papers of the last board. You be the judge. Ambulance services are experiencing significant pressures, with 999 responding to 800,000 calls in February, including 68,000 Category 1 calls. Now, that's only 8.5% of that are Category 1 calls, and they got an immediate response. A serious condition such as a stroke, it seems, isn't Category 1, neither a diabetic in trouble nor your granny poleaxed on the kitchen floor with a broken leg. These numbers mislead the board as to how serious and long waits are. There's no ambulance person on the board. How do we get a better picture and do something about it? Dunno. No one asked. Number two, quote, following the Treasury's approval of the business case to support the digitisation of diagnostic care, 390 memoranda of understanding have been issued to enable systems to access funding. Okay, here's the question. How fast is the procurement? Can we speed it up? When? Who's applied? Why? Who hasn't applied and why? Dunno. No one asked. Number three, at the 31st of December 2021, data suggests over 16,000 full-time equivalent additional roles have been recruited towards the manifesto commitment of recruiting 26,000 primary care additional roles against the March 2019 baseline. Well, what is meant by data suggests? Why manifesto commitment? Is it an NHS operational target or not? Will we hit the 23-24 target or miss it? How many have been recruited and how many left? Why? The baseline is 3 years ago. Why? Dunno. No one asked. Number four. A strong delivery focus on mental health with sufficient workforce and funding will be crucial to ensure the delivery and transformation continues at pace. Well, how's the workforce problem being fixed? When? Who? How? What does continuing at pace mean? How much funding? Have we got a fully funded program? Dunno. No one asked. And here's the last one, number five. Trusts reported on compliance with actions from the Ockenden 1 report, all trusts being either fully compliant or partially compliant with each of the 12 clinical priorities across the 7 immediate essential actions. If you have a closer look, the actual numbers are 31 out of 123 trusts reported that they are fully compliant with all the 12 clinical priorities across the 7 IEAs. 31 is only 25%. All trust is misleading, isn't it? What does it mean? What's the status of the other 92? Dunno. No one asked. Workforce report. Well, there wasn't one. But at the last meeting, 60 days ago, the CNO, the Chief Nursing Officer, told the board in terms international recruitment would save our bacon. I'm doubtful. There are complex regulations around ethical recruitment that translate into a red list where it's a no-no, 47 countries, and a green list. Philippines and Malaysia are on the HMG agreed green list. Active recruitment is permitted from green countries. Quote, green countries are any country not on the red or amber list, and green graded countries without a government-to-government agreement are not published. I don't understand what that means. Do you understand? I don't know. And no one asked. My take? The green countries are mainly healthcare systems competing with us for recruits from the Philippines and Malaysia. Last year, about 800,000 overseas non-EU nurses were recruited, with fees, travel, registration and relocation costs of about £12,000 each. That adds up to £96,000. 96 million pounds. What am I talking about? Yes, it adds up to 96 million pounds. We'll need at least 20,000 nurses from non-EU to contribute towards Bojo's manifesto commitment. There's another one of 50,000 more nurses by 2025. Call it 240 million. One Trust spent 1.1 million to recruit 154 nurses. That's about £6,500 a head. Cheaper than growing our own? Well, maybe, but is this a sustainable policy? Well, obviously not. What does the board say about any of this? Dunno. No one asked. It's taken me less than an hour to look into this and research the numbers. We pay full-time experts a lot of money to manage the NHS on our behalf, and the chair and non-executives are paid to look, ask and watch out for our interests. I know it's not an easy job, competing priorities, political interference, pressures and the press, but this job has not been done well. The outgoing chair and present non-executives have a lot to answer for. I think oversight is poor. As I say, you be the judge. They are so far out of their depth, maybe, and the situation is so grave they don't know what to ask, or do they know perfectly well what's going on yet conspire in a silence to camouflage the real situation? We have a new chair, Richard Meddings. He needs to make a clean sweep. Thanks for listening. I hope we'll speak again soon. Bye bye now.